So let's go back to Ephesians tonight, please. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And probably would be a good idea for us to, I'm going to reread the first couple of verses in chapter 3 to get back fresh in our minds the topic that we were considering. Here is dealt with these verses deal with this subject of the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the church. And so let's read these verses as we continue our study on the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do want to come before you this evening and ask for, well, as we were singing about in some of the songs tonight, we sang about the very fact that you would open our eyes and make us see, and that you would illumine our hearts. Father, we do ask for the spiritual understanding of the spiritual truths that are presented in the Scripture. We would ask, Father, that you would remove distractions in our own hearts and our own minds. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to work among us this evening in a way that would be pleasing to you. And we pray that, Father, you would seek to draw us unto yourselves as we learn more about the mystery of the church being created through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as we presented the topic of the mystery, and we went through and were able to define what we were talking about when we looked at the church, being that it was a called out body, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, called out to be created as a separate entity, a new entity, a living organism, if you will. And so every time that we saw the church referred to or this one body, several times as we read in Ephesians, it says that we would all be brought together as one. It talks about the unity, all referring to the church body. And so we reviewed that. Then we also said that there's this mystery, and we looked at verse 6 in chapter 3 that gave us a great definition of the mystery, being that in all ages past, it was hidden, unknown to mankind, what redemption's plan would be. God had in his mind from eternity past, in his mind that he would create man, that man would fall, that man would be in need of a Savior, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the only one that could provide a way for redemption or for man to be reconciled to God. And so this was the mystery that is now being revealed through Paul. Paul is a special one that's been specially commissioned by the Lord by direct revelation through the Holy Spirit to give out and to go preach unto the Gentiles. Paul, a Jew himself, but then given this message to take it to the Gentiles. And so here, we really made it through about verse 6 this morning. So let's pick up at verse 7. Well, let's just reread verse 6 as we talked about that definition that the Gentiles, and we said that was you and us, or you can't say that, can you? That was you and me, all right? That was all of us. Anyone that was a non-Jew as a Gentile, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And just let's look quickly at another passage that gives us some additional understanding about the mystery before we continue on with the Ephesians passage, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see Paul also writing this, gives us some additional information. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see how, as this starts off, this blends right in with the definitions that we talked about for the mystery, doesn't it? The fact that it was hidden, that it needed to be revealed, and here Paul is writing to reveal these things. Well, it's revealing the wisdom of God. We said this morning that these things were going to reveal the will of God, but also reveals the wisdom of God. And so look at God's wisdom as we continue to read. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now catch that. Catch what that's saying is that if this would not have been a mystery, if it would have been known that Christ was going to be the Messiah, what does it say here? That they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Where would we be if Christ had not been crucified? Was this God's wisdom to hide this thing? You know, we say, why is God in the mystery business? You know, why is it that he hid these things from his creation? Why did he hide the very fact of how he was going to reconcile all mankind to himself? Why did he hide the fact that he was going to redeem the chosen people, the Jews, and he was going to redeem the Gentiles? Well, we see that it was because of his wisdom that he hid it, that if these people would have known that, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so, as we keep on reading here about this mystery, we see in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I made a comment about your red hair this morning as the light was shining through. What's your name? What is it?
Drew.
Short for Andrew, right? That's a good name. Now, Drew, how old are you?
11.
Do you have a good imagination? Yes. Yeah? All right. I bet his parents can vouch for that, that he's got a good amount. Think about a child's imagination, or think about your own imagination even, of the things. I know my children come up with some pretty far-fetched ideas. I mean, they've got some ideas that I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's, and when we read this verse right here, and it says that eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. You see, even if we got the best imagination going, we have not even conceived or not even thought about what God has prepared for us, for them that love him. You see, as we're talking about this whole thing of the mystery of Christ being revealed to establish and create a new body, a church, these are the things that were in God's plan. This was God's plan, and now it's being revealed. We're able to stand and kind of look back a little bit. We're able to see some hindsight. We got 20/20 vision coming with the hindsight of these things already taking place. But we, as we seek to understand this, we realize that it was in God's mind. He thought this up. He thought about the whole Israelite nation. You know, he thought about that I'm gonna promise a Messiah, a king from the line of David. He had all this taken care of. He thought about the religious leaders, the sects of Jewish and Pharisee people that would actually be the religious leaders of the day and that would seek to kill the Messiah. You know, he thought about all these things. He thought about the fact that he would bring two mutually exclusive groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. Two diverse groups, and he'd bring them all together as one and create a body. These things, this is God's wisdom being played out. And you know, we think about, we're only seeing what we know as of today in 2004. He's already got planned out the rest of eternity, you know? And so we're looking at what we can with our finite minds, but we haven't even began to think. We haven't begun to comprehend what he truly has in store for us. And this mystery is just a little glimpse of what he has in store for us. It's wonderful. I mean, think about this. What if Paul would not have been commissioned to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? That we're a direct benefit of the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. That we have become able to hear about the gospel through Paul's preaching. And so, God has prepared these things, and you know, we gotta keep in mind too that this very aspect of the church, we sometimes say that, this church thing is pretty hard. You know, to gather together every Sunday and to gather together for prayer and you know, there's different roles. I've got a role, you've got a role, somebody's roles are burning in the oven. I mean, we say this thing, it's pretty hard, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, but to carry out the New Testament teaching about the local gathering of the believers, it's not easy. But you know what? It's God's plan. It's God's wisdom. It's what he's revealed to us. And it's something that man couldn't have come up with. Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor ever thought about in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. He's prepared for us, the church. He created the church. And so he's prepared it. And we think about unity. That's hard. Love one another. That's tough. But it's what God has designed. It's his wisdom being revealed. It's his will. It's his purpose. And it's being played out. And so here, we keep reading this in verse 10. It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You know, we start talking about this, and we prayed about the Lord would give us understanding. That you think about this mystery, you think about the creation of the church, and it's a deep subject. It's a deep topic. There's more to be gleaned as you study it. And I guess our challenge would be that for ourselves is to seek to study and seek to understand all these truths for ourselves. You know, we say we don't hold dear the teaching of the New Testament. But why not? I mean, this is, once again, it's God's plan being revealed, being played out. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit. You see, the Spirit plays an important role in that, doesn't it? In Ephesians this morning, we read that each believer, once we come into a saving knowledge of God's grace, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we all have this teacher, the Holy Spirit. We read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and that's true. But he's also a teacher. He's the best teacher we've got going, you see? And we all have him. We all have access to him. We all have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And these truths that are the deep things of God are going to be understood and discerned by that Holy Spirit. But you know what? We got to allow ourselves to be taught, don't we? You know, we got to allow ourselves to be taught. Some of you, did you notice all the UNC students are gone, but the state students are back? And so, you know, if, ladies, if you don't show up in class tomorrow, can you learn what the professor has for you? I mean, you got to be there to be taught. We've got the Holy Spirit living within us, and we've got to be in contact, be in communion with God through the reading of His Word, through prayer, through the gathering of meeting with other believers, to take advantage of that teaching. So on your calendar out there, you just had Tom Taylor here. Great teacher. Wonderful. Many of our favorites. He's one of our favorite teachers. His ministry pales in comparison to the Holy Spirit. And so, what a resource that we have, that we say, yeah, I want to understand this mystery. I want to understand this church thing. Why it's so hard. The Holy Spirit, these things are spiritually discerned. And if we seek, God's not going to keep things hidden forever. Some of the things you have to dig a little deeper for. But He'll give it to you. Those that would seek would find. And so here we read in verse 11, for what man knoweth the thing of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. This is saying that we can't discern the things of God apart from the Spirit of God. And so if we're seeking those things out, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see that? They're freely given to us. God's not no longer trying to withhold or hide information. He's made His full will known and declared it unto us in the Scripture. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. You know, this is key. The things that Paul was talking about, they weren't brought about by man's wisdom. And I believe we looked at some other verses this morning that showed us, hey, this is not man's idea. This is not man's creation. These things are God's wisdom, not man's. There's a direct contrast there. So we can look and we could say, as we're trying to discern spiritual truth, is it man's wisdom or is it God's wisdom? And we would only want to rely on that that's God's wisdom. Verse 13, I believe we're in. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So, we see the statements that we're making are supported here by the Scripture and the fact that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What's he talking about here? When we start, if we had time, we'd go back and read the whole chapter 2, but even when we picked up in verse 7, scroll back there and look at verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But then in verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And it ties in and connects all of what we've been talking about with the church being created through the Lord Jesus Christ and this being His wisdom. And we say that if we look at the Scripture and look at what it's saying and we say, this is foolishness to me, what have we just done? We've been thinking with the natural man. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we have Paul admonishes us here, is that if we're searching the Scripture to find out God's will, God's way, as He reveals it, if we think, that's not what I want to do, I've got a better idea. You know, that won't work today. That might have worked in the time of the Corinthians, but that won't work today. I've got a better idea. That's man's wisdom, man's thinking. And so here we would say that those things would be foolishness, that God's revealed what he wants us to do. And so verse 15, he that is a spiritual judges all things, yea, him himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It has been revealed here in the Scripture, bearing out the things that he would want us to know about himself and about his church. Turn back to Ephesians and we'll pick up and continue on with the verses that we had. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Here, we want to notice two things in this verse. One, that Paul was made a minister or a servant. You see, we already mentioned that God had given Paul a special task by saying, hey, take this gospel to the Gentiles. And so he says that I'm made a minister or a servant according to the gift of the grace of God. And so, but where is his power coming from? Where is his strength coming from this? The second half of the verse tells us that God's given me this gift and given me this work to do unto me by the effectual working of his power. You see, this is all a direct, Paul's been given a task, but he's been empowered by God to do this. We read, just flip over quickly to chapter 1 and verse 19. We see a little bit more about this power that Paul has. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You see, God's power, a resurrection power that's noted there, and Paul is given this task to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and he's recognizing that it's a gift and that it's going to be done by the working of God's power. Paul says in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, we talk about that phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and we know that these things, once again, are to be spiritually discerned. Well, we come up to in verse 9, we see a little bit of a different phrase here that's given, and it's this phrase, the fellowship of the mystery. You see, when we've read the word mystery before, it's been also sometimes in a phrase, sometimes it's just stated the mystery and stands alone. Other times it's been mentioned and it said the mystery of Christ, and it's that phrase, but here he uses a phrase, the fellowship of the mystery. And so he says that Paul is writing to make all men see. You can even eliminate that word men. It's probably italicized in most of your Bibles. It means it was added. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, Michael, do you have the word men in your translation? Is the word care in there? All right. So do you have men or not? In verse 9. No? To make all, what? What does it say? We're in Ephesians chapter 3.
Bring to light was the administration of the ministry which were able to continue in God to create all things.
Okay. So that's the New American Standard version that uses to make all see. I think it still says that, but they're talking about administration instead of fellowship. We're going to talk about that word fellowship for just a moment, and we'll see. But first of all, would just briefly recognize that we've got two audiences here. Okay, we've got two audiences here in verse 9. The first audience is all men. You know, to make all mankind see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The second audience that you would have would be actually found in verse 10, and that is the principalities and powers. That they are the angels. We could say the angelic host, probably identified with good angels and bad angels of the principalities and powers. Okay? And so we've got these two audiences. But what is he saying when he's saying to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery? I mean, we've talked about and we've pretty well defined what the mystery is as being the setting up of the church. And so we would need to examine that word fellowship. Now, we're good at using the word fellowship to mean a social interaction. I mean, that's typically, I would say probably 80% of the time that we use the word, we're talking about, you know, coffee and donuts, potluck, dinner, in between the meetings, you know, what do you call that in between the meeting time? Let's just call it fellowship time. You know, that's a correct usage of the word. You know, that's a correct, if you look up, fellowship in the dictionary, one of the meanings is social interaction. Okay? Correct meaning. Now, I have not found anywhere in the New Testament where the word fellowship means social interaction. Okay? It always has a different connotation to it than the actual social, hey, how are you? Let's get together for coffee or get together for lunch. Now, I'm not being dogmatic on that, but just to say that I believe the word fellowship always carries a different meaning than social interaction when we read it in the New Testament. Here is a good example of that. It doesn't mean, you know, what is the fellowship of the mystery? It doesn't mean how can we socially communicate the gospel, that or this mystery. That's not what it's going to mean. Where's my pad? I'll give you the other definitions as the Greek word could be translated. Fellowship. It is partnership, participation, social interaction, benefaction, communicate, communion, or distribution. Those are the words that also could be used in substitution of this word fellowship. But the meaning, you see. And I would believe, as we're talking about this right here, what Paul is presenting, that, hey, there's a fellowship of the mystery. And I would simply say that here, what this is talking about is a partnership or a participation in. It's the working together of the body of believers to carry on the work and the perpetuation of the church. And so turn over to Colossians, and we see this explained a little bit further. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it clear or make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You see, here in Colossians, we see in verse 3 that we would to speak the mystery of Christ. To speak the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? We have to go, I don't want to be redundant in this, but the very fact that it's the gospel, right? Christ being made manifest, or Christ being sent from God, sent from heaven, to provide a way of salvation, And once somebody receives that salvation, they are brought into the body, the local group of believers, and we say local and or universal, but brought into the church. God, or here, is saying that pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What is this talking about? That they're witnessing, aren't they? They're Paul's saying, pray that we would. We sometimes talk about praying for an open door of opportunity to witness, and here that's what he's saying here is that we would take advantage of this open door to speak the mystery of Christ, and that we would not only speak it but make it clear or make it plain. And then he also says, as I ought to speak. You see, that's key in understanding what is the fellowship of the mystery. That as we are all part of this body, we all have a responsibility to speak forth the mystery of Christ. We all have a responsibility to show forth the gospel until he comes or until he takes us home. So as speaking to my neighbor, that is every time God opens unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity to speak a word for him, that we might show forth, that we might speak and explain the mystery as we ought to do. That's saying it's our responsibility. So we have to participate in the fellowship, in the mystery. We have to participate, or we have to be a part of it. Philippians will talk about us being co-laborers. That's a good definition of fellowship. Co-laborers with Christ. And Paul talks about ones being fellow laborers with him in the work of the gospel. That's the fellowship of the mystery, as what we would see in Ephesians chapter 3. So let's look back there. Notice, too, that the audience that Paul is, when he's looking in Colossians, when he's writing, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. To them that are without, the unsaved, and so it just carries through to support the fact that we're making known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those that are unsaved. Well, the first audience there is all men. The second audience, as we see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? From the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. If we had time, there's at least five references that we would look through in the New Testament that show the principalities and powers kind of looking in and observing what's going on in the church. And so this also is revealing the wisdom of God. The angels need to know what the wisdom of God is. In fact, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Here it says that Paul, as he's revealing this mystery, that the principalities and powers would know the wisdom of God, the manifold or the multifaceted wisdom of God by the church. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Says here, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest. What is that? That's Christ coming to the earth as a manger, in a manger, right? God made manifest, made in flesh, made seen of men, manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and that's the phrase that we're keying in on right now, seen of angels, the part of the principalities and powers, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This mystery It's being revealed, being played out. But notice here, the angels are mentioned. That as God came to earth in a manger, and we said this morning that it was good tidings to all men, that the angels were watching. The angels were seeing, what's God doing now? Why is the Son leaving the Father's side and going to earth? Why is he taking on flesh? These things, as we would look through the scripture, let me have you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. What is that? That's the mystery. Have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You see, there again, the angels desire to look into this whole fact of the preaching of the gospel. And as we look back in Ephesians, and it says, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to reveal this mystery to all of mankind, but he wants to also communicate to all creation, the principalities and powers, his wisdom. We look in Corinthians and we see again about the angels desiring to look into this whole aspect of creation being redeemed. We even look at Corinthians chapter 11, and it says one of the reasons that the woman is instructed to cover her glory, to wear a head covering, is that the angels are because of the angels, that they would again be an object lesson to look back at mankind and see, what is God doing? Why is he sending his Son? Why has he created this thing called the church? Why does he only want his glory to be seen and not man's? And see, you look through, there's about six references to the angels in the New Testament, and it's all that may show forth God's wisdom, the manifold wisdom of the glory of God. You see in that verse that we have right there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, that by the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be seen. And so here, as the principalities and the powers, the angels are that second audience. Yes, the mystery being revealed to all mankind and to all creation. And if you just skip down to the very last verse of the chapter, verse 21, it says, now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that will be a good place for us to once again pause our study of the mystery of Christ. And we see the very fact that God's glory, his intent to create an organism that would show forth his glory in many different ways and reveal his wisdom to us. I would challenge us to cling to the truths of the scripture and to seek to understand, to seek to spiritually discern the things, take advantage of our teacher, the Holy Spirit, as these truths are readily available to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much once again for the scripture. We thank you for this written word. We're thankful for the living word. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, has sealed us until the day of redemption, who teaches us all things, yea, the deep things of God. Father, we give you thanks for these many resources that we have in Christ. We're thankful for the future that we have in Christ. And Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts as believers to seek to understand and be involved in the mystery, to be involved in the church, to be involved in communicating the gospel to all those around us. We pray these things now as we seek to conclude our meeting today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.